All right. Welcome everyone to the June 22nd Verifiable Credentials HTTP API call. Juan has already volunteered to scribe. Thank you very much, Juan. Today on the agenda, we have just a quick agenda review, of course. We're doing now, introductions, reintroductions, update on how the use cases are going and any other updates that are relevant to the VCHTTP API. We have one pull request that we can process, four issues, up, and then a section where we are just going to go down proposals that have been made on the mailing list and discussed and see where the community lands on each one of those items. That's the agenda for today. Any questions, concerns, and or additions, modifications to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, let's go ahead, and jump into introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new on the call today? Anyone that wants to reintroduce themselves, has had a change in affiliation, something new happening in your life and you want to share it, anything of that nature. All right. If we don't have anything there, we can go ahead and move forward. Next up is... update on use cases. Eric, would you mind giving us just a quick update on where we are with respect to use cases?
Yeah, sure. So last week, Juan and I took the set of use cases, that are currently in our Google Doc, which I will link right now, and generally did a first pass at sorting them into a few different categories. Top one is well-formed use cases, then needs work, then seeds of a future use case, and the fourth one, out of scope. So that was, I think, most of our work. We also went through and pinged people in the category, in the use cases we put into the needs work category, asking for updates. I think we've had a few responses, but so... if you have a use case that you've written, please keep an eye on the emails, or you can check the document and check the comments for one from Juan or I on your use case. If there's any use cases in the seeds of a future use case section that people would really like to see, please feel free to make a copy and give a shot at writing it up. Most of them are solution or problem statements more than use cases. And then, at some point, I imagine we're going to want to talk about the ones we've put into out of scope as a group. Just as a reiteration, this was just a first pass at sorting, and triaging a little bit. So nothing is set in stone and things can be moved around. Juan, I'll queue you up in case you have anything you want to add.
No, I'm good. That's, it's never too late for input. Please help.
Awesome. And thank you, again, a ton, Eric and Juan, for, all the work on, use cases. It's a difficult job going in and editing and trying to come up with a cohesive narrative across everything. So much appreciated. Your work is much appreciated. Okay. Well, I mean, so yeah, I mean, it's as Juan said, it's never too late for input. If you've got a burning use case, or can help in any way, please jump into the Google Doc and, help. All right. That's the update on use cases. So it looks like we're on a good glide path. I think, Eric, the thought was, you know, a couple of more weeks of work on it and, we'll have something then for the group to review again to make sure that we're on a good glide path for the use cases. Is that okay. The expectation?
Yeah, I think that sounds good to me, unless Juan has any complaints about that general timeline.
Sounds good.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Thanks again, for that work. All right. Next item up, are pull requests. This week we have a fairly easy pull request, pull request 200, raised by, NIS, at Transmute, mostly having to do with, improvements to the presentation schema. There was some back and forth in the pull request, and it basically boiled down to a single PR suggestion, which is to reuse the verifiable credential object as the items in a presentation. I think it looks good. I believe Ori... I think we may need a re-review from you, Ori. It looks good for me. My perspective. Yep. Okay, good. Then that one's good to go. And it's great. You know, that's how improvements to the spec are made. If anyone disagrees, you know, feel free to, say why, but it's a fairly benign change. Marty's got a question, just going back. When copying and pasting a new use case, should it go top-bottom, which section? Eric, where should Marty put his new use cases?
I would just say copy it and probably work right below the original. And then just ping at eric@ledgerec.com. I'll put that in the chat. Or Juan, and we'll take a look at it on Thursday when we have our meeting.
Awesome. Thanks, Eric. All right. We're done with pull requests. As always, you know, the more pull requests that we have, we deal with them at the beginning of the call to try and increase the velocity of changes made to the specification. Nothing happens to the spec unless they're pull requests. So if folks have pull requests that you're working on or you do want to make a change to the spec, please put it in as a pull request so that we can discuss it. We always prioritize pull requests before, other items, during these calls. All right. Next up, issue processing. We're still trying to go through issues and close, or handle easy ones. The first, issue up is, issue 184. And this is to restrict, this is a proposal to restrict conformance and interop test suites to DID key only. Ori, would you mind giving a background on this issue? It's your issue that you raised.
Sure. So in order to pass the conformance tests for the API, you need to be able to support some of the options when issuing and verifying a credential. So for a concrete example, if you're going to support verifying a credential that's signed with ED25519 signature 2018, you need a verification method that is resolvable that supports that suite. So what that means in practice is that folks have implemented a number of different examples in the interop set, and then folks are probably testing their own APIs for conformance using DID methods that they support. And, you know, from a, you know, just from a developer experience perspective, we've experienced issues with you have an interoperability credential, but it's based on a ledger resolved DID that is like down or that kind of thing. And so testing conformance based on third-party dependencies where you have to cross a couple HTTP requests just to test conformance for a data model is sort of painful. On the last call, Justin, you know, and I were both talking about this particular issue, you know, regarding the question of mocking. So, you know, should we mock the HTTP tests for these things, and what would be needed to do that? And one solution that doesn't require mocking is to just say conformance is going to use DidKey, because DidKey is, from a issuance perspective, it can be done in memory, so you don't need to make any network requests. And from a conformance perspective, it covers all of the key types that a ledger-based DID method would support. So there's a good reason to just, if you're going to be lazy and you're not going to do fully mockable HTTP endpoints that are exposed and authorized, then using DidKey is a good solution to this particular problem. But as was mentioned on the previous call, it is slightly lazy, because really what you're trying to do is show that you can verify any credential that the dependencies of conform to a data model. And those dependencies are DID resolution and dereferencing, and the data model is the verification method type described by the suite. So I'll stop there, but that's sort of summary of the issue, and using DidKey would be a lot simpler than doing anything else.
Great. Thanks, Ori. During the last call, we kind of put some pseudo proposals forward. And it looked like the proposal for, just refactoring the test suite to support DidKey as the only mandatory DID format for the test suite, it had a decent number of plus ones. So we, you know, the mocking thing had, good support. No one was against it, right? In the simpler, less work, just do DidKey without the mocks, seem to have stronger support. So I'm wondering if we can rerun that proposal. I'm wondering if anyone would object to that for now. I mean, this is not like, you know, if we come to the conclusion where we do the first bit of work, which is just use DidKey, leave it at that. And then if we decide we want to mock later, we can do that, as an upgrade to the test suite. Would anyone object to, that proposal? And let me just put it in here. Proposal we could run. So this is the one I believe that got the most number of the strongest support last time. Would anyone object to us running that proposal in just making the resolution? That would address, I think, the higher level question in issue 184. Go ahead, Ori.
So the issue specifically says conformance tests, and I think that's an important distinction. Conformance tests tell you whether you're conforming to an API contract, an interface described by the API. Interoperability tests are a different kind of test, and that's sort of like, can you handle all of the different things that you might encounter in the wild? I think it's totally inappropriate to restrict interoperability tests to DidKey. Like, what we want is to show that credentials issued by various different blockchain-bound or non-blockchain-bound DID methods can all produce credentials that are interoperable. And so the interoperability tests, I think, we probably specifically don't want to restrict to DidKey, but the conformance tests we specifically do, in my opinion. So I think that's an important distinction to make.
Thanks, Rory. Go ahead, Marcus.
I just wanted to say I completely agree with Ori on that, to restrict conformance tests to DidKey and use other DID methods for integration or interoperability tests. So plus one for that.
Great. Awesome. Okay. Well, then I'm not hearing any objections, so let's go ahead and run the proposal as soon as I can find it. So, proposal, refactor the test suite. Refactor the conformance test suite to support DidKey. I think the modification here is to refactor the conformance test suite to support DidKey, as the only mandatory DID format for the test suite. Okay, there's a proposal, plus one, minus one. All right, holding for a couple more votes to come in, if any. Three, two, one. All right, that's resolved. Great. There is a remaining question about JWK versus multibase. Let's deal with that later. We can get into that argument later. Ori, do you feel like we could close 184? I know that we talk about JWK versus multibase, but I feel like we could just raise a new issue to talk specifically to that, and we may not end up talking about that for a little bit. Go ahead, Ori, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think we've saved ourselves from needing to talk about key representations if we say that we're not going to do mocking. So I think that's great. And I would be in favor of closing the proposal issue 184, specifically because there's so much commentary on it that's not relevant to the resolution. I would love to see an issue that was raised that was just the resolution and had no comment history on it, because it makes it very clear what the action is.
I was almost with you and I lost you at the end there. What are you saying? Do you want to close the issue, and do we just, say we resolved to do this?
I would say you can close issue 184 if there's an issue that contains the resolution that is actionable and in the history and can be assigned to someone.
For whatever reason, Ori, I'm having a hard time understanding what you mean by that.
Would you object to me creating a new issue, copying the resolution that we just made into the issue subject, and then closing 184?
Plus one. Let's do that.
Okay.
No objections.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Unless there's objections from anybody on the call.
Let's wait. Any objections from anyone?
I just want to make sure that this is covering. So that issue right now is about both conformance and interop. And the resolution we just made was just about conformance.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think I agree with what you said, Ted.
Yeah, you're right, Ted. How about this? Can we just close 184 and open two new issues? One of them to address the resolution that was made, and the second one to raise the question around DidKey for interop tests, just to keep things focused. Ted, would that work for you?
Yep, it's fine.
Okay, awesome.
I think they should just both refer back to 184 for history.
Yep, plus one to that. Ori, are you taking care of both issues?
I don't have a resolution for the other issue. I'm only covering the one where there was a resolution.
Okay. Ted, would you mind opening an issue around the question of interop test suite in DidKey there?
I'll do a something.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm going to move on to the next item. We're going to go to the bottom of the hour with issues. So next up is, come on, paste buffer. Next up is issue 33. And this is define schema for response of credentials, issue credential. I was having a very hard time kind of following the thread here. The discussion is between George Aristi from SecureKey, Ori, you're involved in the discussion, Daniel Hartman's involved in the discussion. Off the top of your head, Ori, do you recall what this conversation was about?
So I think this issue is related to the general confusion over what is an internal API or an API that is a call from two pieces of software in the same trust domain versus an external API, which is a call across a trust domain from one trust domain to another. I think most of the discussion is related to confusion regarding that. And if it's a stale discussion, I would just encourage to mark it as stale and pending close and just let it sort of go away, because I think we've had a lot of progress on this and it's probably mostly outdated at this point. I don't know what else to say about it other than that.
Yeah, that was my reading on it. It's kind of things have moved on. We've defined the, you know, the response object to issue credential. We can mark it as pending.
I think we did have some resolutions that are relevant to it. So if you wanted to mark it as pending close, one way of making that ironclad would be to link the resolutions regarding internal and external that we've made and then say it's outdated pen, you know, based on those resolutions.
Okay. All right. So let me go ahead and assign this to me. The group discussed this on 2021-6-22 and believes that this issue is stale. Find resolutions or refer next step is to refer to resolutions that addressed the return value of issue credential. Resolutions or code commits. Okay, that's assigned to me. I will try to find that information and put it in there. Okay. Next issue up is, well, let's see. Let's not do that one yet. One second. Yeah, next one up is the API style guide. This one might also be stale. So issue 35, agree to API style guide. Go ahead, Ori.
So there was maybe over a year ago conversations about grounding our terminology and our design in some existing style guides. And so one of them was RESTfulAPI.net. If you look at the API endpoints that are currently defined, they're defined under the controller style that's described by RESTfulAPI.net. There's a collection style, which is probably the thing that most people think of when they hear the words RESTful API. A collection style endpoint looks like, you know, collection type slash collection, specific identifier, whereas a controller style one is sort of like interface slash function name. I think there was, as I remember it, complete consensus that RESTfulAPI.net's terminology was helpful in distinguishing the differences between these style of routes. And there was also, I think, complete consensus that JSON schema should be used to its fullest extent. And if you add those two things together, you get the current structure that we have, but I don't know that anybody's ever fully documented those resolutions anywhere. And not having them documented leaves the door open for continuing to relitigate them over and over and over again, which can be really difficult if, you know, you've already committed to those design changes, but you haven't, you know, externalized that commitment.
Okay, so what we're looking for here is some kind of proposal that we could run that would establish the more or less the decisions that, you know, we've used to come up with the API we have today. Does anyone have any other input? So Ori, I think your assertion is that we are using a controller style. We are using JSON schema, and that is our, you know, at a high level, that's our API style guide.
Yes, that's my assertion, is that we're doing that stuff, but I don't know that we've protected ourselves by documenting that assertion in the appropriate place. And I've also linked this architecture diagram, which may no longer be up to date, but it's a sort of an example of a similar kind of issue where we need to be clear about what it is that we're intending to do here and what tools we intending to leverage, because if we don't lock that down, then we could spend a lot of time talking about whether or not we're doing it, with the right tools, as opposed to what is it that we're actually trying to do.
Okay, all inputs to the APIs. Let me try and so here's a proposal that we could run. The VCHP API style will use a controller style. Do we have a link to that, where we can link to the definition of what we mean by that? RESTfulAPI.net. Ori, do you have anything off the top of your head that we could link to?
I put the top level one in chat. This covers collection, resource. It covers everything. There's a reason that I link to the whole thing, because it gives us a good general grounding. I would make the proposal that, you know, we'll conform to RESTfulAPI.net guidelines, and we prefer controller style names. And if there's an objection, if there's a specific endpoint where we want to deviate from that, we'll discuss it and, you know, on issues, and we can deviate from it. Like, I don't think we need to necessarily say, like, we'll only use RESTfulAPI.net. The term RESTfulAPI generally isn't very descriptive. So I think, you know, really what we're doing here is we're just trying to, like, say, here's a general set of guidelines that we want our API specification to conform to, and it's helpful grounding to acknowledge it.
Okay. Guidelines and specifically, I'm reworking the proposal, and specifically use a controller style for endpoints, and we'll use JSON schema to define the acceptable inputs to the API. Any deviation from these guidelines will be discussed in the group. So let me try that. So the proposal is, in general, the VCHP API style will conform to RESTfulAPI.net guidelines, and specifically use a controller style for endpoints, and we'll use JSON schema to define the acceptable inputs to the APIs. Any deviation from these guidelines will be discussed in the group. Go ahead, Ori.
So I hesitate to bring this up before running the proposal, but there are certain requirements from a data modeling perspective that are incompatible with controller style endpoints, particularly revocation. So it's not that it's incompatible with RESTfulAPI.net. It's that revocation implies a set of endpoints that are collection oriented, at least in its current model today. So I think we should run the proposal, and then I think we should, let me cue myself to maybe just talk briefly about revocation, and we can create an issue associated with it if we feel like that's necessary.
Yeah. So plus one to that, Ori. I mean, we have language that says in general, and any deviations will be discussed. So we have the ability to specifically talk about your revocation. Are there any other modifications or changes to the proposal that folks in the group would like to see? Hearing none, here's the proposal, plus one, minus one, or any variation thereof. I'm going to hold for about 30 more seconds for other people to get their votes in. All right, 3, 2, 1. That is resolved. All right, and that resolution makes it clear that we can close issue 35. So let me add that to that issue. The group discussed this today and came to the following resolution. Marking as pending close. Pending. Oh, we don't have a pending close. I guess we... do we need one? Yeah, we do. Pending close. All right, so... Okay, that has been marked as pending close. Hold on 1 second, let me make sure that it has. It's not. All right, now it has been marked as pending close. All right, moving on. Go ahead, Ori. You wanted to provide some bit of background on revocation. We're going to skip the next issue and go into proposal land.
Yes, so I created an issue just so that there's something for folks to follow up on, you know, regarding what I'm about to say. So this is issue 204, and I named it Revocation List and RESTful APIs. And I just want to note that under the issuer API, we have an endpoint called update credential, update status, which is to revoke or unrevoke a credential. And that interface requires a credential ID. And then what that means is, you know, first of all, you all should know verifiable credentials aren't required to have an ID, something I learned recently, which made me deeply sad. And second, you know, what that means is that the revocation list interfaces and their support in these APIs are going beyond what the verifiable credentials data model can say about certain kinds of credentials. So what I mean by that concretely is in order to revoke a credential, it needs to have an ID if your revocation method is revocation list 2020, for example. And then if you look at the examples of that, for the most part, you will only see examples of credentials that have an ID that is what we call a collection style resource identifier. So it'll be like example.com/credential/123. And obviously that's not a controller style interface. It's not that these are incompatible. It's just a thing that folks should note, and it can bite you really badly if you start to assume that credentials have an ID or that they always are, their ID is always a URL and the URL is always a collection style URL, right? Like those are all assumptions you really can't make. I don't think there is a particular problem with the revocation interfaces that we have today around this, but I'm noting that folks who use these APIs will be building systems that probably support getting a credential by ID, right? And then you might need to use that method in order to get the revocation list associated with a revocable credential. And then you will encounter these design conflicts between controller and collection-oriented interfaces. So I'll stop with that point. I just want to raise this as a potential issue for implementers.
Great. Thanks, Ori. Marcus, you're on the queue.
I have some thoughts on this, but I realize we wanted to move on to proposals. So maybe I'll just put my comments in the issue. I basically agree with Ori that it is a shortcoming of the current API, and I think the solution is a bit more complicated than it may seem. But this has come up in the past at some point, and I'll put my thoughts in the issue.
Great, thanks, Marcus. All right, next up is authorization proposals. Authorization proposals. These proposals were sent to the mailing list for feedback. We got some from Alan? Carl? I'm totally blanking on the name, but we got feedback on them. And so we're just going to run them. These have been out there for a while and discussed on the mailing list for a while. The first two, the first three have to do with how much the spec is going to say about delegation, authorization delegation. Thank you, Alan Karp, about authorization delegation. So the first one is basically implementations should. The only word that changes between the first two proposals is should versus must. Implementations should support authorization delegation by using technologies such as GNAP and authorization capabilities. The proposal after that is to strengthen that language to a must. And then the third one is a very weak, like, we informally urge you to support authorization delegation and you may support other authorization mechanisms, especially ones that support authorization delegation. So what we're trying to do is signal how important authorization delegation is, and it is for authorization for the authorization section of the spec. So I'm just going to go ahead and run these in the order that they were sent out to the mailing list. So the first one is that implementations should support. Let me go ahead and put this in here. Implementations should support authorization delegation by using technologies such as NAP and authorization capabilities. Go ahead, Juan. Is it specific about the proposal?
Yeah. I'm just wondering a little bit. I'm just confused how should works. Like, if implementations are using those mechanisms, can they assume the counterparty knows how to treat differently? I don't know. It's hard for me to vote. Yeah, thanks, Matthew. Exactly. How does should work? What is should?
Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. Justin, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's exactly the nature of the proposal that I put out to the group, is that they should be supported, and in the cases where they are, they must use the a resource request format to be defined by this group. And by that, I mean the OAuth rich authorization request or GNAP resources request. They are the same as each other, just for what it's worth. It basically means we recommend that you make this available. And in the cases that you do, this is the interoperable way to do that. It doesn't stop you from also having other ways of allowing access, or saying this is not a type of access that I'm going to allow, but we're saying that this is an interoperable way, you should support it, and when you do, you at least have to allow it under these things that we're going to define.
Great. Thank you, Justin. Let's see. Do we have anyone else on the queue? We have enough small objections here where we could try and resolve this. So Ori, you're -1. Mike, you're a minus one. I'm a minus 0.5. Mike, Ori, what would it take to change your minus one, to a zero to positive value?
I think Tall Ted actually just put it out in the chat there. Like when those should Gnap get to the point where we're seeing adoption actually out in the market and, things move along and we actually need to be able to support that because our customers are coming to us with that, then great. You know, or someone else is hitting that scenario, right? Then I'm a lot more open, on that front. So.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Ori.
Yeah. So as I said on the last call, I have nothing against ZCAP authorization capabilities, object capabilities, Gnap, rich authorization requests. Like I want all of that work to move on and make progress. But I'm a huge minus one to taking it in any format in the current specification in its current form today and with its current level of adoption.
Great. Thanks. Justin, you're on the queue.
Rich authorization request is in deployment across open banking in the UK right now. So this is something that is real and does exist. It's no coincidence that that's being developed alongside of what Gnap is offering. So I'm not saying create an entire profile of Gnap or OAuth or anything else. I'm saying that in the cases that you do these, use these ways to make this request. And that is a very small lift for this group and would allow for a huge amount of interoperability for people who decide to do these types of API protections. And so to be clear, this is tantamount to saying, when you call my API using OAuth, use these scopes because I'm going to tell you what the scopes mean. That's what I'm saying. Just don't use scopes because they're not a good fit for the descriptions here.
Go ahead, Ori, you're on the queue.
Plus one to not using scopes because they're not a good fit. So completely agree. We just had a conversation about how scopes aren't a really good fit. It sounds like maybe we could meet in the middle and talk about defining a just limited to rich authorization request format type API requirement around what you would expect in an access token and what you would expect to get from an access token. Maybe there's a way to get the thing that has adoption, like which is RAR with open banking in the UK, and maybe we can build on top of that. I think the thing that I'm struggling to understand is where there is adoption for the standard versus where you have to bundle a couple things that don't have adoption with one thing that does have adoption. So Justin, maybe it would be worth, elaborating on RAR specifically and its level of adoption, how many banks have been using it, what their experience with it was. That's the kind of information that I would need to make an informed decision about RAR. And RAR being, completely separate from Gnap, if you're saying that those open banking APIs aren't using Gnap, then yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people are using, I need to know how many people are using it. What level of adoption does it have? What level of standards track maturity is it? Those are the kinds of answers that I would need to make an informed decision recommending such language in a specification like this.
Yeah, so, sorry to jump the queue, but basically to answer directly, I don't have specific numbers because I'm not sort of a marketing and sales kind of person. I mean, you could go figure that out across the European open banking, not open banking UK, because there's a million different open banking ones. But Torsten Loderstedt, who's one of the authors of the co-authors of the RAR spec. Yeah. PSD2. Thank you. Is one of them. I know that they're using it. And there's other places that are using it. As far as spec maturity, it is in working group last call right now. Which means that it's well on its way to, publication as an RFC. So, continuing to paint specs like this as, you know, immature suggestions because they're from outside this group is not helpful. Because ultimately that spec right now in the eyes of, a lot of the world has more normative weight than anything that the CCG would publish as a community group, which is not to denigrate the CCG. It's just the nature of, and differences of the organizations. Now, regardless, it is seeing adoption, and it is seeing, you know, positive use. And like I said, if we define it this way, then we have something that we can use in both OAuth 2 and GNAP, as a functional replacement for scope strings when calling this API. And this isn't meeting in the middle. This is what I've been saying all along. So this isn't in the middle. This is my position.
Okay, thanks, Justin. Do you have a link to the last call thing? The only thing I can find is IDs.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's still an ID when it's in last call, but sure. But and to be clear, those IDs are working group draft IDs because they have ITF in the name. I know that's a bit of esoteric knowledge from the IETF, but there is a functional difference. I'll find the link to the last call.
Okay, thanks, Justin. And just to be clear, we're talking about we are talking about delegation here or not? Because this proposal specifically has to do with delegation. It's about authorization delegation.
Yeah, this is how you describe what you're asking to be delegated. So should I take a moment to describe what RAR and GNAP do for describing resources or no? Would that be useful here or not?
I think it would be useful as a full-blown presentation, Justin. So the concern I have here is that we may be in a position where many of the people don't know what they're voting on if we bring the RAR stuff up. So we'd need to take some time to talk about it and defer the decision, right? Because the thing you don't want a group doing is voting on something that they don't have operational knowledge of. Let me just go to the queue. Adrian's up next, then Ori, then Mike.
So I want a big plus one to dealing with what you just said, Manu, having Justin primarily make a presentation about this before we go much further. I can tell you from my perspective, having worked on UMA along with Justin, not nearly as much as he did, but for almost 10 years, this has to be solved in order for us to move forward. The fact that UMA was standardized, went through two revisions, and is going through maybe another one right now and didn't have adoption is just an example of the problem that needs to be fixed. RAR is part of it, and GNAP is part of it. This problem, we cannot sweep this problem under this table. Thanks.
All right, and Ori, you're up, and then Mike.
Yeah, I think we should have a dedicated call that's specific to the adoption that open banking, you know, in the UK has regarding RAR. Like, let's be really specific around what it is that what the value is that they're getting from RAR and why they're using it. And, you know, if we could even hear from somebody who's using it and what their experience has been, that'd be great. And these are the kinds of things that I think we need to be able to make informed decisions. I think you can't make an informed decision about adding this kind of complexity to a specification without having multiple calls dedicated to it. So if we consider that the proposal as written is like GNAP and delegation and capabilities, and I'm a minus one to it because the proposal is essentially an unbounded complexity with no real clear understanding of what that is. I appreciate what Justin was saying about trying to limit damage that that complexity could cause by saying, if you adopt it, then it must look like this. That's the kind of language that we need. But I think we need to have a number of calls that are just focused on whether, hey, you know, can we use RAR by itself, or can you only use RAR with CNAP? You know, those kinds of conversations. What's it doing for banking? How can we, you know, let's kind of go through the examples, you know, line by line, and look at the adoption and ask, you know, if we were to make these musts, which we should prefer over shoulds, right, what would the burden to an enterprise be? Could they swing it as a must right now without retooling their auth zero or Okta configurations, for example? You know, like, what's the actual implementation burden for these musts or shoulds in the spec?
Great. Thanks, Ori. Justin, you're up next.
Yeah, I mean, I'm confused that we keep coming back to things that I thought that I had already said were not true. And I think that I'm not being clear about the proposal that I'm making for the group. So let me put it in very simple terms. If you were doing this with OAuth 2 scopes, and I am not saying to do this, this is a straw man, so put your torches down. If we were to say, here's an API, and if you're protecting it with OAuth 2, use the scope string, quote, read VC, unquote. And that gets you read permissions. Now, I'm not saying how to use OAuth 2. I'm not saying where to get it from. I'm just saying that if you're using that particular technology, then when you do that, use this scope string. So that way that everybody does this in the same way. This is not adding complexity to this spec. This is not wrapping in a whole lot of different layering. This is not putting in a burden to people implementing this kind of stuff. What it is doing is attempting to prevent one group from saying, use the scope read VC, and another group saying the scope read, and another group saying VC read, and another group saying verifiable underscore credentials underscore API colon read, and the like. So what I'm suggesting is that we use the structures as originally defined in GNAP and now backported to OAuth 2 with RAR and in use in a number of places, which are JSON objects to describe the kinds of actions that we anticipate on this API in an interoperable way. That is the full level of interoperability that I am recommending that this group apply for authorization and delegation protocols when specifically we're talking about using them to gate access to the VC HTTP API, which still needs a shorter name, guys.
Okay, thanks, Justin. So it feels like this could turn into a workable proposal that could pass the group. I think we need to probably see specifics. My guess is that nobody in the group has RAR experience except for you, Justin. Like implementing or anything. So Justin, would you be willing to put like a presentation together for the group specifically about how RAR would look, when used, with the VC HTTP API? Let me stop there and see if you have the spare cycles to do that one.
Yeah, I can do that. What I would need to do to make this make sense is to just basically take a wild stab at what those slices would be. And I am not the expert to decide those. I can use what I believe it was Brian Richter said on the mailing list of, you know, I am this party, this is the thing I want to do with the API, as a basis for showing what that type of design would look like.
Plus one to that. Yeah, I think that would be useful, and I think that's a good place to start, and everyone understands that it's a wild stab, but you know, that's better. A concrete wild stab is better than a meta wild stab at this point.
Absolutely. I think right now, if, the fear that I'm hearing in a lot of responses is, against things that are not accurate. And so it is my hope that I would be able to add more information to this discussion so that people can be accurately afraid of things.
Plus one to that. Okay. So Justin, let's go ahead and do that. We'll follow up in email or mailing list, to talk about timing around that.
Sure. Direct email is probably the best for me. I have trouble keeping up with all of the different groups that I'm in, unfortunately. I could do, looking at my calendar, I can actually target next Tuesday's meeting for that, if that works for people.
Yeah, that would be great.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Okay. And if it takes longer, don't worry. We can, we'll put it on the agenda and won't make any decisions until we've got something concrete like that to look at. Let me ask, I'm wondering if we can separate the RAR discussion from the OAuth 2 discussion. Because it's an OAuth 2 thing, right? So let me put one last proposal in here. That's a pre-proposal. And the main thing I'm looking for is, could we run proposals like this, very specific proposals to very specific endpoints, and separate out the RAR discussion? So this proposal is, implementations must support OAuth 2 for the verify endpoint. Implementations may support other authorization mechanisms for the verify endpoint. So this is effectively us going, we're going to support OAuth 2. And then the RAR question is, you know, it's in flight, but it's looking like something that the group could agree to. Would a proposal like this cause anyone to object? And right now I'm just looking to see if anyone would object to this. Go ahead, Juan. And then we gotta adjust.
Not objecting, but just wondering, so just to get back to my should may proposal format confusion, implementations could do the same thing another way. Here is an example of the equivalent. Like, here is the example in OAuth form and in RAR form.
No, it would be open. We wouldn't specify what the other way would be. Yep. And so on the mailing list, Adrian, Justin, could you, elaborate? I mean, we're out of time for the call today. But on the mailing list, let's take this to the mailing list. And Adrian, Justin, if you could elaborate on why you're a minus one for this particular proposal, I think that would help things. All right. That's it. We're out of time for the call today. Thank you everyone, for the time. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you on the mailing list. And thank you a ton, Juan, for scribing.